There's a famous machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel with regards to Hadlakas Neris Chanukah, which you could really apply to life in general as well. Beis Hillel says that Hadlakas Neris Chanukah are done b'eifin that it's meisif v'heilich. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and then the last day you have 8. Whereas Beis Shammai says the opposite, it's peiches v'heilich. You start off with 8, and then 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, the last day is only 1. Beis Hillel is a very encouraging scenario. You start off with one light of Kedusha, and every day it builds a little bit more until the last day is Zeis Chanukah, so you have all of the energy of Chanukah taken with you until you go through the rest of the year. Beis Shammai, it seems like what you get out of Beis Shammai and Peiches V'Heilech is that every day you're focusing on what you have left and you're savoring the flavor of every last day. So by the time you get down to one, it's like, okay, one day of Chanukah left, one last day to hit that home run. Now that's about Chanukah. How do most people look at life? So if you look at the way that people celebrate their lives, most people, you know, are very excited about the fact, you know, up until a certain point at least, you know, every day, every year, people celebrate their birthday. Ke'ilu, like there's something to be happy about. I got a year older, yeah? And, which makes sense. Because when I'm 2, I'm more capable than a 1-year-old. And when I'm a 20-year-old, I'm more capable than a 15-year-old. And 30-year-old. And Lemaisa, even though nowadays it's not too popular to get older, but if you look at it in a sane way, an 80-year-old, provided that he's still got all of his faculties, he's got much more life experience and know-how and wisdom than a 70-year-old does, and he's continuing to grow through his entire life. And so therefore, this person, he's celebrating his birthday because of every birthday, so there's more to him. He snowballed for another year. But there's another way that you can look at it, and I'm not so sure that we're so removed of it, and it's exactly the opposite. A person is born with 120 years at his disposal, and then he's only got 119 left, and 50 left, and 40 left, and every year he just dies a little bit more. A baby is full of potential, and you're using up that potential. Every year you're dying a little bit more. They celebrate a birthday? No, don't celebrate a birthday. I'm just like, I'm one more year close to the end. We know people like that. I have a relative that when he was 70, you know, now 70 is like old middle age, you know, but it used to be 70 years old, you know, Shivim Shana, you're an old man. They wanted to make him a 70th birthday party. He said, you make me a 70th birthday party, I'm not coming. And they made him the party and he didn't come. Why? Because in his mind, what are you celebrating? The fact that, like, I'm not going to be here in another couple of years? As I'm almost dead? So we don't want to admit to ourselves that, you know, we could ever look at it that way. But, Maisa, we do. People feel that it's tragic to get old. So people are basically saying, you know, what it is what I have on this earth. And every year I'm just a step closer and, you know, and then that's it. It's finished. It's not Jewish. Because the Jewish approach is that after 120 years, so it gets even better. And we keep on being reborn every single year. Every year we recreate ourselves. Every year we take another step. Every year is Meisif V'Heilech. And the time when we're Meisif V'Heilech is really coming up in just a couple of days. We're almost Yimei Slichas V'Rachamim. So I want to start getting into that today. This idea of rebirth. What's Slichas? What's Rosh Hashanah? But let's first start with the Parsha of the week, the Parshas Nitzavim. Parshas Nitzavim, at least according to the Rambam, Hilchas Mila, is a third bris. There's the bris in Vayikra, there's the bris in Kisavai, and there's the bris in Nitzavim. Rashi says it's a, Medrash says that it's an encouraging speech, and it's a long, beautiful parsha with a lot of lessons. But one of the most famous psukim in this parsha that everybody knows, as confusing as it is towards the end of the parsha of Nitzavim already, before Vayelech. So we read, Re'ei nosati lefonecho ayoyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look, I put in front of you today, es achayim, life, ves atoiv, and good, ves amoves, and death, ves ara, and bad. And it goes on, and then it says a couple psukim later, Ha'idaisi bochem ayoyim, es ha'shamayim ves ha'aretz, achayim v'amoves nosati lefonecho, again, ha'brocha v'akloa. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us, U'bacharto b'chayim, you should choose life. Rosh Yeshiva likes to point out that Rabbeinu Yoina says that this, we take from this pasuk, U'bacharto b'chayim, that bechira is a mitzvah. Some people don't like that. I once had a Rebbe who said that, you know, whatever, today, you know, thinking for yourself is like it's kimat usur. You know, you have to ask everybody else to make your decisions for you. U'bacharto b'chayim means you choose. Consult. Make sure that your choices are wise, that they're safe. But the strange thing about this pasuk, and this is really the beginning of what I want to talk about over here, is what do you need to be told this? Life, death. Choose life. Oh, shkoyach. No, I was going to choose death. And we all know we do. I mean, not in the real way. That's for really sick people. But we all know, I talked about this in the Chumash here a little bit in the morning at one point. Everybody knows that there are times where we commit mini-suicide. The Seder's not going so good. Okay, fine. Let's just go get a piece of cake and then another piece of cake and then I'll go take a nap. And I just wasted 2.5 hours. The shir is a bore today, or whatever it is. I put my head down, go to sleep, or just walk out for 15 minutes, or whatever. It's a mini-suicide. Or I'm giving up on myself. I can't do it. I really can't become great. Who says? Of course you could become great. That's what you're here for. No, I can't. It's too hard. Mini-suicide. U'bacharta v'chayim, choose life. Choose to be alive. More alive than you are now. But that's on the mini level. What about on the simple level over here? Well, b'charto b'chaim, I have to choose life. What do you mean to choose life? Choose life as opposed to death. When do we do that? So that's question. Question is, when do we do that? And we'll see, that's the beginning of our topic over here. You see that has to do a lot with Rosh Hashanah. Very strange thing in Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah tells us, the second Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, Barba Prakim Ha'olam Nidain. There are four times that the world is judged. And this is true. Pesach, al Atvua. Atzeres, on fruit. Rosh Hashanah, all the people. And the fourth one is Sukkos, al Mayim. Now you look at the Rambam on that Mishnah. The Rambam brings how many of these four la'alacha that we do anything? Just Rosh Hashanah. What do we do on Sukkos for Mayim? Not part of any major avodas hayom. Simchas beis hashoeva, or little things, minhagim or whatever. No big deal. I mean, all these different things. The Rambam brings one la'alacha. He brings Rosh Hashanah. The other four, do they exist? Is there this din? Yes. But apparently what that tells you also is that what we're doing on Rosh Hashanah is not necessarily about this din. You look at the whole Rosh Hashanah davening, it doesn't really have to do with this din. Some of the piyutim, Zachreinu, Michamecha, that the Ga'inim pushed in, Anshei Knesset HaGdol, the Ikar Nusach HaTfilah, not about din. So what's really going on in Rosh Hashanah? Why is our Rosh Hashanah that we're going to celebrate different than all the other Rosh Hashanahs? And more than that, There's a braisa in the Gemara that says a whole big machlekes as to whether Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. Get that? There's one shita that says nichta Rosh Hashanah, nichta on Yom Kippur. There's another that says that nichta on Rosh Hashanah and then on Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot, that's when it's nichta. But then there are a couple of real interesting ones. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Adam Nidoin B'chol Yoim. Rabbi Nassan Oimer, Adam Nidoin B'chol Shah, and they bring Psukim. So Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Nassan, they didn't have a Rosh Hashanah like we do. Or maybe better, they had a Rosh Hashanah every hour or every day. When was their Rosh Hashanah? Apparently there's more to Rosh Hashanah than just Yom HaDin. It's not like the other four prakim that are Olam Nidayin. There's something a cut above. And Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Nassan, they also had a Rosh Hashanah. So the Rosh Hashanah wasn't the Yom HaDin, because the Yom HaDin was every day or every hour, so what in the world is Rosh Hashanah? So what's Ubechar to Bechaim? And what's the essential Rosh Hashanah if it's not just the Yom HaDin, which apparently there's another dynamic here. There's another facet of Rosh Hashanah. One more thing to round it out. There's a Medrash. You may know this Medrash. The famous Medrash about when Adam Arishan was created, Nasa Adam Etzalmenu, that there was a whole color war going on in Shemayim. And all the malachim of all the midas, you know, it was some had flags that were waving, yeah, yeah, create him. And the other one said, no, don't create him. And the Medrash says is that Chesed said create him. Why? Because Adam is going to be a nice guy. Tzedakah said create him. He's going to give tzedakah. He's going to do nice things. Create him. Emes? He's a chakran. Shalom? Look at the world today. Everybody's fighting with each other. Yibare al yibare. Yibare al yibare. Yibare al yibare. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, fine. At the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu paskened and sent it down as a whole business about MS Mier. It's titzmach. It's its own thing. What we want to focus on today is the end of the Medrash. This is wild. Rav Huna Rabba Shaltzi Pirin. Rav Huna, the Rav of Tzipayri Omar, Ad Shemalachei Asharis Midainin, Elu Emelu, while the Malachim are still busy fighting with each other, beating each other up, Umisaskim Elu Emelu, and they're talking with each other, Beroy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the middle of fight said, too bad. Omar Lahem Ma'atem Midainim, what are you judging for? Kfarnasa Adam, he's already done. What's the significance of that? They're fighting. Good idea, bad idea. Good idea, bad idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, boom, done. Okay. But you never resolve the argument. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulted them. So he wants to know what they have to say. Apparently, Adam Arishan is born in the middle of the argument. But the argument is still going on. Yibare, v'al yibare. We're in the middle of it. So what's this business that we're born in the middle of the argument? What is this extra element to Rosh Hashanah, that Rosh Hashanah is not just the Yom HaDin? Rosh Hashanah is something special, even if there is a Yom HaDin. We have this Rosh Hashanah, and we're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Tkiyas, and we have the Malchiyas, and we have the Zechrinus, but it's not just the Yom HaDin. And also, what does it mean, B'char to B'chaim? So by now you guys know that I have the minig that every week, so learn with a different chavrusa shaft. So this week it paid off for me dividends in a number of ways. Oh, it was a good week of learning. But then yesterday I got a particular bonus. Was that, you know, Nachi likes the hack. So Nachi says, you know, tells me yesterday some news that, you know, whatever, that the Rosh Yeshiva had this interview on David Arlovsky's show. Or whatever. I'm not usually a participant, but like the Rosh Yeshiva goes on some podcast, very interesting. And then he started telling me that there were, you know, controversial things, which like, oh, really? Controversial things? Yeah, something that had to take off or whatever. It's like any normal person. So what did I say? Oh, can I have a copy of that? So I got a hold of the contraband. Now, if you want my full opinion about it, so then that's not for this venue over here, and, you know, whatever it is, what's it called, and we can discuss all different things. I do want to share with you one beautiful story, taken a little out of the context that it was told in, but still, to me it's a Rosh Hashanah story, at least the Rosh Hashanah that I'm talking about now. The reason that it hits my heart so much is because I know very, very well the person and the family he's talking about. Rosh Shiva has an old friend from Boston, and we live in Muncie, you know, and they lived around the corner from us. And the person who the story is about, so I was very good friends with, like, all of his kids. Actually, one of his kids was here with me in Tomo. He was a year behind me. We wrote the first two Tomo spiels together, with both of us together. And my younger brothers had, you know, were also friends with the other kids. But the story goes like this, Maisha Shahaya Kachaya. That this guy, and I never knew this, I knew he was very good friends with the Rosh Hashiva from way back. This guy grew up in Boston, and he grew up in a family where parents were, devoted communist socialists. And, very into the philosophy. He had no money. No money, and you're a Marxist socialist, you know, religion is not exactly on your set of priorities either. So he was in whatever kind of school, and his parents were very poor. They had nothing to do with him after school. And so like any normal kid, where do you go? You either go to the ball game, but that you need money for, go to the candy store. Hang out in the kosher candy store. And that's where he went every single day. After a while, though, the owner of the candy store realizes, like, this kid is a nudnik. You know, he comes every single day. I don't know whether he was eating the profits, you know, Shane or regular or whatever, but it's just whatever it is, he's like, I got to get rid of him. Bayayayim, that Rabbi Yashar Ber comes into the candy store. For sure to get shtel for a halacha seder. I mean, I don't know what are the reasons you're going to a candy store. But he went into the candy store, and this guy said, you know, I have a problem. I have this kid who comes in here every day, you know, like I'm his unofficial babysitter. He's got to be in school. You know, you have a school or whatever it is. His parents, they don't have any money. Maybe you could work something out. I don't know whether it was right away at the time, wasn't clear the way that it was told, but at one point he made a beeline for their apartment. Their apartment was an old sweltering walk-up with no elevator or whatever, living in this poor apartment. And he goes in and he tells the parents, listen, you have a son. Your son has none to do in the afternoon. I have a school, and it's free tuition. And you can send him, and he's going to be busy every single day till 4, 5, 6:30, whatever it is. Poor, fine, no problem, great, you know, whatever. So he saved the kid from the communists. And he went to yeshiva, and he was a frum person, and his kids were all very frum, frummer than he was at that point, and you know, whatever it is. And ad kidei kach, many of the kids are in yeshivas, you know, very yeshivas, and I know them, I know exactly who he's talking about. The irony of the story was that some of his kids came home from yeshiva X, Y, or whatever, you know, gar yeshivish places. And they said to their father, you know, in a way that's unfortunately not so uncommon in the yeshivish world, you know, they mentioned Rav Yashar Ber, and they made some kind of, you know, scrunch up nose or whatever, like, hey, and the father said, kid, let me tell you something. You know what happened to me? You know how he ran up all those stairs? You know how he say, without him, I'm not here, you're not here. None of it happens. It's a very ironic story. But it says much more. And this is why I say it's a Rosh Hashanah story. Because this is a story about somebody who looks at the present and realizes that every moment of the present you have the ability to invest in the future. What you do today is going to build tomorrow. It's going to build other people tomorrow. It's going to build their children tomorrow. It's going to build their grandchildren tomorrow. But before all of that starts, what you do today is going to build you tomorrow. If you invest in your future, your tomorrow is going to be better, and your next year is going to be better. How do you look at life? Do you look at your today, that I'm building my tomorrow and my next year and my third year? Are you making something of yourself? Or do you look at today as, today is a good day to have another experience. So in another 3 years, I'll be able to look back nostalgically and say, oh, remember what I did 3 years ago? It was so much fun then. But then that day is dead. And we just died another day. And we're one step closer to the end. Rosh Hashanah tells us not to do that. Rosh Hashanah says that in the beginning of the year, we have to decide to invest in our future. Rosh Hashanah tells us that in the beginning of the year, on that very day when the malachim are busy fighting, Yibare, Al Yibare, Yibare, Al Yibare. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, while the fight is going on, let the human being go down to the earth and figure it out for himself. You want to be created? Or you don't want to be created? Do you want life? Or do you not want life? You want to invest in your future? Or you want to just say the present is for my thrills? And then it's another day gone. That's what it means of Bacharta Bachayim. Get a life. Invest in your life. That's Ubacharta Bachayim. Choose life. Of course you're alive. But choose your life. Build your life. Your life gets bigger every single year. And that's the dynamic of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is not just the Yom HaDin. Of course there's that Yom HaDin. We paskin like the Shita says. But even without that, it's the day that we are created again. Every year we decide, Yibare or Al Yibare? You want to be alive? You don't want to be alive. You're going to invest in your future, you're going to live your present, and it's dead. That's the Medrash. Yibare al Yibare. That's the din of Rosh Hashanah. And that's what it means of Bacharta Bachayim. We're about to begin a very, very special period starting Matzei Shabbos. Had a chasana. A little weird having a chasana right before Slichas. But it's sort of like, okay, we got over the chasana, you know, and now it's time to crack our knuckles and get down to business. The Slichas is very, very special. It's very, very special because, you know, there are certain parts of Slichas Yom Narayim where you can really feel the Kedusha in the air. Everybody davening together, and of course, there's, you know, the tshuva and the davening and trying to make amends for different things. It's a confusing period of time because you're tired. And it's also the end of Elul Zman where you just feel it's like, okay, fine, you know, whatever it is, how much time do we have left? And in the middle of all that, it's like the scariness of Yom Narayim. It's like it's mixed signals. But more importantly, it's a time where you're coming up on Rosh Hashanah. And the first thing that people have to take stock of is this cheshbon. Yibare, al yibare. You want to make something of yourself? You don't want to make something of yourself. Every person can be great. No one has to be mevater on that. Everybody was put into this world with an enormous potential and a tremendous ability to do great things. No two are alike, and everybody can do something that another one can't. But you have to invest in your future. You can't just live your experience for today. You have to decide, am I going to invest in my life? I'm not going to invest in my life. It's also a choice for this time of year. I think I said it over 2 years ago. My Rebbe, Rabbi Wine, Zechut Tzadik Livracha, when I was in high school, so we used to have, you know, whatever, after davening, give mussar every day. And one of the things that stuck with me, I never really figured it out. Maybe by now it's starting to make a little sense to me. He asked, you know, whatever. He said, People want to know what's a ben Torah. What's a ben Torah? We want to know what the hallmark of a ben Torah is. Is a ben Torah is somebody who is excited to get up in the morning. I never got it. A lot of people excited to get up in the morning. I think what he meant was like this, though. Anybody who has a normal job, it's not hard to get up in the morning. You don't really have a choice. Somebody who's in yeshiva doesn't have a normal job or whatever it is. What gets you up in the morning? What gets you up in the morning is one thing, is that you believe in the purpose of what you're doing. You feel that it's meaningful. You feel that you're building yourself. You feel that if I have a successful day, it's not just for today, this is going to be for the rest of my life. And that's a ben Torah. That's a ben Torah. Somebody who chooses life over and over and over again. And that way, he's making himself into a bigger and bigger person. And Baruch Hashem, over the last couple of years, over the last couple of weeks, so I've gotten to know the guys a little bit. Everybody is, doing very nicely. Bez Hashem, we could, do more and better. Everybody, has to take their own stock. But I just want to leave off with this message. And again, it's a big message going into Yom Noroim, but really for every day. People have to take stock of themselves and ask themselves this question. Do I want Chaim? Do I want real life? Do I want to have a life? Is it Yibari or is it Al Yibari? And am I going to invest in my future? I'm going to make something out of myself? Or am I just going to live for my thrills and experiences? Because everything that we do today has gigantic repercussions for tomorrow. Everybody should have a good Shabbos and a good beginning of Slichus. And Be'ezus Hashem, we will see you in the beginning of the week.